We'll begin in a few minutes. We're just waiting for our city attorney to show up, and then we'll start the planning commission. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to convene and call the Planning Commission meeting of September 15th, 2021 to order. Pledge of Allegiance, Commissioner Bernstein, can you help us out on that? If everyone can please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Recording secretary, roll call, please.
Commissioner Peace.
Present.
Singh.
Present.
Darnell.
Present.
Bernstein.
Present.
Masterson.
Present.
Thank you.
And also for the record, the city attorney is joining via teleconference or phone call right here. So, moving on, approval of the minutes, approval of the August 11th, 2021 Planning Commission meeting minutes. Does anybody have any changes on those? Do we have a motion on those?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Recording secretary?
Peace?
I vote yes.
Sing?
I don't need to say that anymore.
I know. Sing?
I was absent, so I'll abstain.
Okay. Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Abstain.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-2 with Singh and Bernstein abstaining.
Thank you. Moving on the agenda, waive and reading of full of all resolutions on the agenda. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Recording secretary?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay, moving on to the public hearing part. Item number 2, continued public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-25 Sunset Recycling. Oh, I did. Oh, I did forget that. Oh. Okay. Backtrack real quick. Public comments. This is a time for anyone to speak on any item they would like to address that's not on the public agenda tonight. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Okay, thank you. With that then, we'll move to public hearings. Item number 2, continued public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-25 Sunset Recycling. Community Development Director, Mr. Brown.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. The commission will recall, this item initially came before you at your August 11th meeting. And at that time, staff had expressed some concerns about the proposed location of the recycling facility. In order to allow staff to work with the applicant to perhaps find an alternative location where the facility might fit in better on the site, you continued the matter to tonight's meeting. And with that, I'll turn it over to our project manager, Ashanti Mason-Warren, and he can bring you up to date as to the activities since the last meeting and where we are right now. Mr. Mason-Warren?
Thank you, Director Brantley, members of the commission. Again, this is a continued public hearing from the August 11th Planning Commission meeting. After staff was directed to work with the applicant to
Are we supposed to be able to see these on our...
Yes.
Okay, we cannot currently.
You might need to turn on the monitor if it's not on already.
They're on.
Should be a button on the bottom right.
There's these buttons on the side that say present and PC.
Oh,
there you go.
Sorry, this is a new.
Yeah, mine disappeared too.
PC.
Please bear with us while we resolve these technical issues.
There we go.
We
got it.
Perfect. Good? Oh, okay. This item was, continued from the August 11th Planning Commission meeting. Staff did meet with the applicant and with Costco management at the site in the week following that August 11th meeting to look at potential alternative locations. To kind of recap, this was the proposed location at the August 11th meeting. Staff had, prior to the meeting, expressed concern to the applicant that staff would not be recommending approval at this location due to concerns related to aesthetics, parking, and circulation impacts, given that this location for the recycling center is directly in front of the Costco building and along one of the primary drive aisles for the parking lot. Staff met with the applicant at the site. We walked the site with the applicant and with a member of Costco management. Staff had originally proposed that the applicant relocate to the originally approved location of a recycling center back in 2012, which was in the back corner of the Costco building. Staff believes that location did not have any impacts to aesthetics, parking, or circulation. The site visit with staff and the applicant. Staff reevaluated the site, and we actually found a number of locations that we believe could accommodate the recycling center and significantly alleviate, if not eliminate, the potential aesthetic, traffic, and circulation impacts. Highlighted in red, locations that staff believes would best accommodate the recycling center and would not result in undue impacts to the rest of the center as far as circulation, traffic, parking, and aesthetics. Costco and the applicant maintained that the proposed location, as you can see here in yellow, was an optimal location. They also suggested that this location near the fuel pumps and tire center would be an optimal location as well. Nevertheless, Costco management said they were potentially amenable to a location in the back and that they would discuss internally and get back to staff with a determination as to whether or not they would be favorable to a location in the rear. Staff also should note that we also mentioned that we could potentially accommodate wayfinding signage given the lack of visibility in the back to accommodate the business and provide added visibility were it to locate in the rear. Costco sent a letter to staff, which you should have in front of you, with a determination on the proposed location. Costco management states in the letter that the proposed locations in the back is not something that they would be able to accommodate, and instead assert that the locations proposed in the front, the previously proposed location, and a location as shown here near the fuel pumps would be the optimal location, and that is what they are requesting here today. You also received correspondence from the applicant, the manager of Sunset Recycling, with some examples of currently existing locations throughout Southern California and the greater Los Angeles area. The applicant's letter suggests that they're able to operate in the front without significant aesthetic parking and circulation impacts. Staff did look at a few of these locations, and we have some examples. This is one location at an existing Costco in Cypress off Catella Avenue. This location, as you can see here, it actually is located in the rear, definitely not in the front of the parking lot. It's set up such that the staging areas for the recycling center are located outside of the major drive aisles and outside of view of most of the front of the Costco Center. It's another example of an existing Sunset Recycling facility at a Food for Less in Hawaiian Gardens. This one, again, located in the rear or side of the shopping center and taking up multiple parking spaces beyond just the footprint of the recycling center itself. This one is, in fact, located in the front of the Food for Less off Orangethorpe Avenue in Fullerton. You can see in the picture above, this was a replanted recycling center at the time that the street view picture was taken, but this is now the current location of a Sunset Recycling facility. This picture demonstrates some of the added parking strain and impacts to circulation and aesthetics that we believe could occur by approving a location in the front of the Costco facility. With all that said, staff maintains that we're not directly opposed to the use itself, rather the location, the proposed location of the facility. We maintain that the location of the facility should locate to the rear of the Costco Center to avoid potential aesthetic, traffic, and circulation impacts, which we believe would occur were it to locate anywhere in the front of the Costco building. Staff is still willing to work with the applicant and with Costco, and we would recommend approval for the application were they amenable to locate somewhere to the rear of the Costco facility. So with that, staff recommends the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying conditional use permit 2021-25 Sunset Recycling. And I can take any questions.
Do any of the commissioners have questions for staff?
Yeah, I have a question.
Please.
Can we go back to the first aerial with the yellow and red areas? So Costco is saying that they would be okay with it along the spaces that are adjacent to the gas station.
Yeah, they did mention in their letter that their preferred location is near the fuel pumps and the tire center.
And how many spaces are we talking about again? Four?
I believe the footprint of the building of the facility itself takes up 3 to 4 spaces, but staff believes that additional spaces would be taken up to staging.
Right. I remember why we talked about this was not the ideal location, but can you again enlighten me on staff's perspective on this particular location?
Sure. With this particular location, staff believes that this would potentially exacerbate the traffic and circulation issues in this part of the center. That drive aisle in particular is one of the main, if not the main exit aisle, even a main entry aisle for patrons to the fuel center. There's, I think there's eight to 10 drive aisles queued for the fuel pumps that all meter into a single lane as they exit the fuel pump area. It's a very busy part of the center. And again, visually and aesthetically, staff doesn't believe that it's great to locate it anywhere in the front, but in particular in that location, any sort of obstruction to the flow of traffic in that area, we think would be a negative impact.
Is in the conversations with Costco, because if we go to the spaces that are the furthest, I mean, as I'm looking at the screen, if we go to the spaces that are the furthest to the right, which are directly adjacent to the auto center, those are all cordoned off as being, this is like Costco Tire Center, you can't park here. Would they be amenable to doing away with those so that this could locate there?
Are you referring to
me? Yeah, because to me, I mean, the only, I mean, again, we're going to deliberate this, but I think if it does go along this stretch, the only place that it makes sense is closest to the building, the furthest away from the gas station. But those spaces are specifically, say, Costco Tire Center, and you can't park there.
I don't know if they call out those spaces specifically, but in their letter, they do mention that they would for their preferred location is closer to the tire center. They think that would be a location that could be kind of visible and monitored by their staff.
Sorry, that's all I got.
Anybody else have questions for staff? Okay. Is the applicant here? Please state your name for the record.
Good evening. I'm the applicant, Arkash Azalian, City of New York Community Planning Commission. I'm here to answer any further questions you guys may have. To respond to you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If I may, Art, just a moment. Could you please raise the podium? There's a button on the right side, on the right side of the podium.
Oh, on this side?
Hold the button. It's on the right side over there.
Okay.
It's a button that you can
press.
Sorry.
I know. I was going to say, did that shrink?
You got to hold it in, and it'll come up.
That's weird.
There you go.
Oh, look at
that. Way we can hear you better.
Look at
it's fancy stuff.
I was gonna say, that doesn't look right.
I thought you were trying to turn the microphone on, actually. I didn't know that.
I think we're going to put a chair there. What are we doing?
Good?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Mr. Carroll, thank you for addressing what you asked. We are actually going to cordon off and provide boulders and
obviously nice stanchions, so we're perfectly in lot with using whatever space that we're approved for. I don't know if Ashanti provided our other pictures as well. We provided 12 other locations in the Southern California region that we're in more heavily congested, busier locations, and we professionally operated better than we would in the rear and the back. Like I said last time, there's a lot of skeptics that goes in the back of operating in the back of the supermarkets. There's a lot of crime, theft, break-ins, robberies. The stores, obviously the truck, the congestion is of a big concern to the stores. So that's why they do not want us in the back. And obviously my safety is a big concern to me too. And we will definitely do as promised and operate how we are providing our application. If you guys have any other question, please don't hesitate. I'm here to answer any questions.
Yeah, if I can follow up to Commissioner Darnell's question. I'm not real familiar with the tire center parking, but if it is in those spaces closest to the tire center where you're proposing is the best part of that section for your facility, where will the tire center reserve spaces go?
So that Costco made arrangements for that one. I'm sure there's a lot of other parking stalls. But the reason also being Costco regularly comes out to check on the operation as well, their management. For example, at the Cypress location, La Quinta, that's why they also want it as close as possible to them because that's the nearest place for them to exit to check on the operation. So this would be an easy eye for them to come out and monitor the recycling facility and make sure everything is running as efficiently as possible as it's supposed to. But we will not be getting in the way of anything of Costco or of a detriment to the shopping center or the traffic. We don't want any problems for us, for the city, or the Costco. So we operate in a way where we do not cause any problems, and we only use the space what we're allowed for. We don't use any more space than what we're supposed to use.
Thank you. So if I understand you correctly, you're not sure where they would relocate those reserved parking spaces?
Yes, so I'm not sure if those parking stalls are reserved spaces, but when we did go to that site, Costco, I remember Shanti was with us, they did say they do prefer, yeah, closer to their tire center. That's actually how we're operating in the Cypress location. It's right adjacent to their tire center. I don't know if you can tell by that picture, but it's literally right next door is the tire center. So the patrons have a lot of places they could park. That's easy for the patrons to park, but to place the recycling center is harder than it is for anybody can park anywhere else. But for the recycling center, it's a little harder to place it. That's why that location is definitely feasible. And I do like the station next, the parking stalls next to the gas station more, actually, yes. That would work for us 100%.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other commissioners?
Just a question. If you can please repeat your preference, the reason you prefer this location is because of supervision and...
You know, the supervision, and actually it is more isolated. If you go there, there's never any cars parked. It's our own little corner. You know, we have that little spot to ourselves. The customers, usually they will never park all the way over there. If you go to walk all across to go to the Costco, they would rather park any other parking stall besides that one because that's too far away. That's why also Costco and me, we do like that location more, and for the supervision that the Costco does provide, yes.
Okay. And then, and you mentioned, and you know, I mean, we know and understand that this is the entrance for the vehicles who go to the fuel gas stations. So how do you, aesthetically, how do you perceive that? What's your perception?
So aesthetically, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but we do provide a really nice accommodation of containers and a kiosk unit. We do boulder out that area so it doesn't block the drive aisle. The customers cannot park in the middle of the drive aisle. We direct them to a parking stall or else we will not buy their materials. So they always follow the directions. I mean, for them, it's kind of common sense too because they don't want to park in the middle either. So they have to park in a parking stall so they can properly receive the service. So we will not be buying from anybody that parks on the side or in the middle. We take a very strict stance to that. No, nobody. We direct them into the parking stalls.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions? Question on the proposed locations by Costco, those are all the locations that Costco has approved?
The ones at the yellow, yes.
In the yellow.
Yes.
Okay. Tonight, if we're going to have to debate this and make a decision on this, if the commission does not believe that those are good proposed sites based on circulation and aesthetics, would the previous location where it was approved in the back, would that still potentially work?
So that would not work with
that. That would not work.
Unfortunately, we did have a long talk about it. It wouldn't work to go in the back. I mean, if we were able to, we would, but we were not able to. Costco does not want it in the back. Yeah.
Have any type of like traffic or circulation studies or anything been commissioned by yourself or Costco? Just because, you know, one of the concerns here potentially is the circulation. You also have trucks that are entering there, and the gas station does get very, very busy all times of day, and especially on the weekends. So I do see a potential circulation. So I just didn't know if there was any kind of, you know, studies or anything that kind of, you know, contradicts that issue.
Absolutely. So that's a good thing you brought up. Thank you. So we have many locations we serve with Costco. Like, for example, we have one in Fontana that's right next to their gas station. These studies are taken from all of the sites that we serve. And we have one that's right next to a gas station, too, in Fontana, California. And we don't have any issues. Again, because we don't infringe upon the gas line. If we're operating right next to the tire center, that's honestly nowhere near where the cars are even getting in. There's no way we can get in the way of the cars getting in to get in line to go fill up the gas. We're all the way on the next to the tire center. So Costco, obviously, they're going to do the analysis before they approve a location with us because they don't want anything to affect their operation either.
Understood.
And if it was, yeah, they would never allow us to operate there. And they use that area for staging their service vendors, their large deliveries, and they don't want homeless people too. because whenever something's more hidden, the homeless people will start coming in, loitering. But when it's more visibility, the crime kind of deters itself because there's a lot of eyes on the facility and no one's going to take the risk to do crime or loiter or any of that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, hold on.
Just one more quick question. The facility that you're proposing to put here, is this like, are you going to build this or is this something that's just like a pick up and drop it off?
Good question. Yes, it's a pick up and drop off. It's a roll out prefabricated units. It's a prefabricated kiosk unit. We're not building a building or anything. They're prefab units, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. Any other questions? No?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Would anyone from the public like to speak on this item? Okay. With that, I will close the the public hearing, bring it back to the commission. Any comments? Anything from any of the commissioners?
Oh.
Commissioner Pease?
Thank you, Chair Masterson. Full disclosure, I shop at this Costco, and I've gotten my tires at this Costco. And I buy my gas at this Costco. And I can tell you that based on my personal experience, when I exit on the north side of the fuel pumps, it can be congested. And I would be concerned if the recycling center were put along that north side there adjacent to the gasoline pumps. I just think it would just be lead to a lot of congestion and force people to try and get out through the southerly area, which is just going to exacerbate the traffic flow. I'm all in favor of recycling. When Costco did in-store recycling, I took advantage of that. And I would like to see a recycling center in Yorba Linda, and it'd be nice to have it here at Savvy Ranch at the Costco. Unfortunately, in my opinion, the proposed locations just don't make sense. I think we have aesthetic concerns. I think we have traffic concerns, and I am concerned about parking. I can tell you on a number of occasions when I go to Costco, especially closer to this time of year, as we get towards the holidays, parking's a nightmare. And to lose spots, to disrupt traffic flow, especially on that gas station side, I just don't think it serves our community to put it there. So I am going to, I'm not in favor of these locations, and I'm going to vote to deny the CUP. Thank you.
Any other commissioners' comments?
I have a question that I want to float out here for everybody, and we can decide if we. What if we were to conditionally approve it in the far? So those four, as far as I can tell, it's four. And again, I get gas at this Costco too. Those far easterly spaces on that drive, on that aisle, are. They are not in the primary. So if you get gas and you come out and you then make a left to go back out, those four spaces that are east of there are not directly adjacent. So I understand that people would probably park right in front of those, but if we conditioned it so that the recycling center had to go in those most easterly spaces, then it would be incumbent upon Costco to obviously figure out where they were going to put their tire parking. But nonetheless, those spaces are usually occupied by cars anyways. And what if we, and this is where I need the community development directors, what if we, since it is a prefab building, since it's not something that we're going to do, you know, it's not going to be there conceivably permanent, what if we did it for a year and then had it come back to the community development director to evaluate how the operation was running? David's so excited. I don't know. It's just for discussion.
Well, okay. just for discussion.
Just for discussion.
Putting it over to you.
Okay. Notwithstanding the circulation impacts, and all due respect to the applicant, Art, great guy, businessman, wants to ensure that his operations run smoothly, but candidly, Art's not there all the time. There are employees that operate the actual day-to-day, and people do what they do, what's most convenient for them, and we saw in the photographs that Ashanti presented These were photographs that we just took off of Google Earth, the Street View shots. You could see that people are staging in the in the drive aisle. They're not parking there. So I think it's a little bit ambitious to think that the Costco people are going to monitor this and ensure that it operates and is managed in a way that doesn't create this type of situation. Additionally, we heard from Art that he only occupies the footprint of the building that he's given by the approval. And we saw in these photographs that, again, there's items staged in this photograph outside. We saw in some of the other photographs that there are blue bins and barrels, a number of them, that are staged around this particular kiosk building. And candidly, again, it's not attractive. Staff's concerns are not limited to the circulation impacts. We have some real aesthetic impacts about this type of land use in front of our Costco. And that's why when the Planning Commission approved the last application some 5 years ago probably, we recommended it in the back, and Costco approved it in the back, and it operated in the back, and there weren't any issues. You know, there's been discussion about, you know, the proposed locations, the alternative locations that staff offered up, which included the original location that was approved all the way in the northeast corner. But we also thought that the other side or the area just south of that would also work, you know, or the area behind the wall in the loading dock area with signage, directional signage, to help people know that it was there. We're hearing that that's not acceptable to Costco and that it's a conflict with, you know, their delivery trucks. And, well, the location next to the fueling dock is actually the path of travel for the delivery trucks as well. They come in off of Crystal there, and they circulate around the building, and then they exit out to the south to Savvy Ranch Parkway. So the same sort of concerns that Costco has expressed as to the conflict with the delivery trucks would be prevalent at the proposed location that Costco seems to support, in staff's opinion, similarly to the alternate locations recommended by staff. So to answer your question, staff is unfortunately really concerned about any location in the front of the building, not only from the circulation impact standpoint, but from the aesthetic impact standpoint. So that's where our recommendation is from. We fully support it in one of the alternative locations. And if it's the Planning Commission's pleasure to approve it at an alternate location, we would recommend that you continue this matter to the next meeting and allow staff to come back with a resolution of approval for that alternate location.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have any for discussion? My comments are is that the proposed location, I actually think that's going to cause circulation issues, personally, and aesthetics, but I think it's more of a circulation issue. I do feel like we've given Costco and the applicant a place to go in the basically red locations. You know, so kind of my thoughts on this is that we would either potentially continue the item and give the applicant, you know, a shot to work with Costco going back on that one on the red location, or we would deny the conditional, I believe it's the conditional use permit tonight. You know, one of my questions to the applicant was, you know, that would this work for Costco? And that's why I asked that question, because I thought we'd be coming to this point. And so it you know, it doesn't look like Costco would approve this at all.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the findings too, I mean, you know, my thoughts would change potentially on the circulation, you know, if there were some factual studies or something that showed that's not going to cause an issue. But just, you know, we all shop at Costco and driving through there, parking lot's always, you know, crazy as it is. Yeah. But I don't know if any other commissioners have any other comments on this.
I just have a quick question of staff. If this is denied tonight, generally denials come with prejudice, correct? So they're not able to be resubmitted for a period of time. So, because I get maybe the denial is like just the, you know, the thing that Costco needs to push them over the edge to look at it. Because I do see how, you know, potentially like the first four red spaces on the far easterly. I mean, that's not all that different from the yellow ones at the front. It's just over into the side a little bit. So maybe that's something for them to consider. So in the, what are our options here tonight, David, in terms of if they wanted to come back with an alternate?
Are you suggesting deny it without prejudice?
Is without prejudice already within the conditions, or would we need to add that as well?
I think that your motion would be to deny it without prejudice. I don't think that you necessarily need to, but we could add a whereas clause to the denial resolution to indicate that it's without prejudice. Okay. That would allow the applicant to come back with a new application at a different location and not wait the year time frame that normally would apply when a project is denied with prejudice.
Okay.
However, that would require him to submit a new application. So the other option is what Chair Masterson suggested, which is, you know, you could continue it again with a strong message to the applicant and the sponsoring property, Costco, that the commission really has a strong preference for this to locate in one of the red areas. And if they're amenable to that, then we can come back in 2 weeks with an approval resolution and get this done.
You know, I feel like I'm going to speak against that latter idea, because, you know, when we heard this in August, you know, we gave them the strong message, and apparently that message wasn't received. So maybe they need a stronger message. So I'm going to move, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
Based on the proposed location, I move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying conditional use permit 2021-25 without prejudice, Sunset Recycling.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording secretary?
Pease?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days.
Moving on to item number 3, public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-39 and administrative adjustment 2021-2022. Community Development Director Brantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mason Warren will be getting the staff report on this item this evening as well.
Thank you, Director Brantley. Members of the Commission. This item, conditional use permit 2021-39 and administrative adjustment 2021-22, Kreutziger is located here off of Vista del Norte in the RS residential suburban zone. The request before you today is to accommodate a second story addition and remodel of the existing single family home at this location, address 20740 Vista del Norte. The proposed second-story addition would be a bonus room and office in addition to the main residence. The proposed second-story addition would result in new windows along the front, left side, and right side of the existing residence. Staff has no privacy concerns as a result of the proposed windows. We don't believe they look into any sort of sensitive areas of the neighboring properties. And we believe that the proposed architecture is well integrated into the existing residence. To accommodate the proposed addition and remodel, the applicant is requesting an administrative adjustment to reduce the front yard setback by less than 15% from the prescribed standard for the zone. Staff is supportive of this request. Again, it's a uniquely shaped lot, which we believe results in a undue burden to the property and can be accommodated with an administrative adjustment. Staff recommends the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving conditional use permit 2021-39 Kreutziger, and recommends the Planning Commission approve by minute motion the attached administrative adjustment. If there's any questions, I can answer those.
Do any commissioners have any questions for staff? Okay, with that, I will open the public hearing. Is the applicant here? No? Okay. Anyone wish to speak on this matter? Nope. Recording secretary, did we receive any comments?
No, we did not. Oh,
thank you. Okay, with, did the applicant review all the conditions?
I have not heard from the applicant since the conditions were sent.
Okay. So with that, I'll close the public hearing, and do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving conditional use permit 2021-39 Kreutziger.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording secretary?
Steve?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And I'd like to also make a motion that the Planning Commission approve by minute motion administrative adjustment 2021-22 Kreutziger.
Second? Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Recording secretary?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days.
Thank you. Moving on, item number 4, public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-19 and variance 2021-01. Mr. Brown.
I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but Mr. Mason Warren will be giving the staff report on this item.
Lay on the mic button. There we go. Yeah, the application before you today, Planning Commission, is a request for a conditional use permit variance to exceed the prescribed height standards for walls on a residential property. The subject property is located here off of Via La Primavera within the RU residential urban zone. Specifically, the request is to exceed the maximum 3-foot height limitation for walls and fencing within the front yard. The applicant is proposing to construct a 4-foot, 6-inch tall wrought iron fence with stone pilasters locating parallel to Via La Primavera across the front yard, and is further proposing to approve a vinyl fence ranging in height from 9 feet along the rear, along the side property line and the rear of the property, tapering to 8 feet within the front yard setback, again along that northerly side property line. The applicant's request rises to the level of a variance rather than a conditional use permit, because the zoning code allows for the Planning Commission to approve a conditional use permit for fencing only up to 6 feet in height within the front yard. Requests for taller fencing do require a variance per the zoning code. The applicant's justification for the variance should be included in your attachments this evening. It's primarily related to the grade difference between theirs and the northerly adjacent property. Staff believes, first and foremost, that the variance request to allow for an exceedance of wall height in the front yard isn't justifiable in this case, or really generally when it comes to the front yard. There is not the same assumption of privacy in a front yard area in a single family area as there is in a side or rear yard area. Front yard space is part of the public street scene and contributes to the overall aesthetics and feel of the neighborhood. And staff does not believe that the 2 or so foot grade difference between the two properties is sufficient justification to approve a variance for a wall that would exceed the allowable height in the front yard by approximately 5 feet. The applicant has already installed a portion of the vinyl fence within the front yard. This is a picture of the existing condition of the front yard from the applicant. And then we have a drawing of the proposed design of the front yard fence. Staff is also not supportive of the conditional use permit application. In this case, staff again believes that the proposed fencing here would be a really significant deviation from the current aesthetics of the neighborhood. Historically, staff and the Planning Commission has not been supportive of taller fencing in the front yards of these smaller lot zones. Typically, this type of conditional use permit request is reserved for larger lots, estate lots. Staff is not supportive of this type of fencing in within the RU zone. With that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying variant 2021-01 Salimi. And further recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying conditional use permit 2021-19 Salimi. And I'm available for any questions.
Any of the commissioners have questions for staff? Okay. With that, I'll open the public hearing. Is the applicant here? Please come up and state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Attila Clark. And my wife, Holly Salimi. We are the owners of 4663 Via La Primavera. Basically, it's an extenuating circumstance to request the permit for an 8-foot fence. We understand that. We're actually very saddened to appear here today to go through the process itself. The adjacent owner of the property, 4653 Via La Primavera, before they moved into the neighborhood in 2019, were actually welcomed into our home. We treated them to dinner, drinks, just a welcoming atmosphere to welcome them to the neighborhood. My wife and daughter even brought them baby gifts for when the lady was pregnant. Unfortunately, things have gone downhill since then. There was a disagreement with a pilaster that was on the front area of the property. They wanted it removed. We denied it. Instead of going through the proper procedures and getting a formal permit or even basically what happened was they came in onto the property, removed the pilaster. They removed 14 trees that were on our property, on the property line. They removed our sprinkler system that was on the property line. There was a wood fence adjacent to that. They removed that as well. Multiple damage as well. They trespassed on our property. They demolished other pilasters located on the side, and they caused significant damage to those pilasters. They also removed other landscaping like rose bushes, a bird of paradise that was there in that house before we even moved in. As a further proximate legal result of these acts, negligent trespass, and invasion of right of privacy against our family. We have suffered, will continue to suffer, severe emotional distress and anxiety, fear for over our safety and safety of our children. And the uniqueness of this request, we seek the Planning Commission help on the appraisal for this fence. Turn it over to my wife, Helena.
Thank you so much for having us. I appreciate all the city staff that worked hard on this permit with us, Ashanti and Mr. Brantley and other staff that who worked. And they are familiar with the situation that we are in. This is absolutely unfortunate that we basically into this situation with the site neighbor. when the site neighbor moved in, they request for expansion on their property. We accepted. We didn't even attend the public meeting in 2019. When they had and they, you know, they briefly described their expansion, we just accepted. We just wanted to cooperate. We wanted to be neighborly. We welcomed them to our family, as my husband mentioned. We welcome other neighbor to welcome them to the neighbor party, to have them, to welcome them to basically the neighborhood. Soon after they moved in, when they basically the permit passed through the city, the whole story changed. We all of a sudden we came home to that slide number one that shows that, you know, the items that marked in a red, all of a sudden bird of paradise that was twice the size of this one has been removed without our consent. And then next was April, about a year and a half ago, I received this text while I'm at work, neighbor asking, are you at home? I have a question for you. And I said, no, I'm at work. How can I help? They said, this is technically in your yard. My dad is working on our front yard, and we were wondering if you minded removing it and we fix it up. We would be removing it. And I'm asking the pole, and the neighbor answered, he will make a nice wall out there for both of us. Yes, the column. Is Attila home? I can show him. Let me talk to him and get back to you. When we asked the previous owner that they lived there for 40 years, and they said this was built on a previous agreement between the two neighbors back then. This was a shared pole and a shared property line, a shared pilaster. And later, as soon as we press our
point of view
that we're not comfortable with that, this is marked for the property line, and we just don't want to, we're not comfortable to making any changes. And they keep pushing, and they keep pushing. When we declined, this is the next scene that they were changing the roof, and we come home to this scene that all the trash coming to our yard, you know, just this was just the start of a story. It was a nightmare that we lived through. We are still suffering. We cleaned it up. You know, there was a rusted nail all over the floor. I have a pet and I have two small kids, so we cleaned up ourselves. We came home to this scenario. Neighbors actually came and told me they purposely hit the pole. That was the question at the beginning. Can they remove it? So my other neighbor came to me and said, we noticed that their cap is shifted. So I ran over at that moment. This is in a right-of-way area in a walkway. There's a street pole, a street light. And at that time, we had a disabled neighbor. The child was disabled. He was blind on a wheelchair. They would come to play with my kids. They would go through this pathway in front of this pole. And I ran over and I said, what are you guys doing? Because this cap is loose. It can fall over somebody's foot. People walk or there's disabled people here. They made fun of me. With the bare hand, I went and ran over Home Depot, bought a, you know, caulking, and I just secured the cap, at least not tip over. Asked them to fix it. They denied it. And the comment was, I want what I want, and I get what I want, always. So deal with it. The year to this day, and I can't, it still is surreal for me, the 1 year passed, the pole removed without our consent. It was extremely stressful for us. This is the picture, the right corner bottom is the neglect of a land. That's how the land has been kept. When I have a pool, swimming pool, and when they were constructing the front porch, unpermitted front porch, they closed the natural flow of the water. If you notice that cement, the cinder block at the end. And I ran over to the neighbor and said, whatever you do, don't flood my house. And so they expanded this front porch to the right side, to the front, and then elevated, basically the elevation is basically that piece basically is almost 4 foot high. And so what happened is when the expansion happened, the next scenario, This is right before New Year. Heavy rain happened, so my house got flooded. My, you see the mud flow coming, the pool got flooded, the living room got flooded, the pool, and it was just a disaster. What happened, when they blocked the natural flow of the water, that it was first picture in the Google map, you will see it was just a grass, and it was a slope of water could come down to the street. They blocked that, they elevated, they didn't put any drain. So with the expansion, the previous expansion that they did, the roof is almost twice the size as the older roof. So water had no place to go. Rain didn't, you know, there was no settlement. Water comes down, it stays in. So water route back to that, to my property. And that is the situation that we ran in. This also happened two times after, like this complete disaster. And when we red flagged the flood, the harassment started. As you see, the picture at the bottom is my view from my living room. So when the porch expanded and elevated, there is a side wall. So we were witness many times the neighbor or neighbors, basically relatives, is standing on that side wall. And I didn't buy this house knowing that someone would expand this porch the way that my privacy is completely gone. Like, I didn't want to have a feeling of a townhome beside me. I bought this house as a detached home, and I want my privacy. I never even, you know, this. I never even imagined this. You know, this is, I don't feel comfortable. My living room window, you know, like my kid's bedroom is on the other side, facing this side, and constantly occupied. So what happened, the neighbor, instead of fixing the issue, they elevated. So they put camera, three location. As you see this camera in the picture, top picture right, the camera facing directly my living room, and there's another camera in the front yard, 90-degree angle, monitoring my entire life, like monitoring what time my kids come home, what time we go home, who comes to my home, everything is being monitored. The camera up there on the roof, so when your fence is being, let's say normal fence being permitted for 6 foot, why the camera has been installed on a 20-foot high? Like, it doesn't make sense. So without bare, so we didn't know how close this camera is to our home. And it basically is extremely a strong camera because I have, my background is IT. And I do, after, there was an incident with the pilaster, that the three big pilasters, right before they put this camera, they cut this pilaster in half because the pilaster was built on a shared property line, right? So back then, 50 years ago. And they came, they demanded, so we signed a permit to cut the pilaster or remove it, and we didn't want to make a change. We just wanted to live our life. You know, we didn't have the budget. We didn't want to deal with any of that. And then right before they put the camera, they cut the pilaster, right? So we also, when they, right after the, there was another incident that my kids was at home and a screaming coming to me that mommy, neighbor is climbing off the pilaster coming to our home. So they, it's just a different method and different nightmares that we went through, we suffered. And therefore, when my kids are scared, like I'm the mother, I'm supposed to protect my family. And at that moment, I have a professional, you know, a technician came and installed a camera just to monitor my site. My camera is facing down, not going past the property line. There was a window out there, as you see, when they made modification. I blocked specifically that window from my camera footage to not being even recorded at all. And it's an extreme low quality. It's just monitor. I just wanted to monitor if someone's coming to my home. Like, I need safety. This is my sanctuary. After 8 hours of work, I'm coming to my home, you know, like everybody else. Then they put these massive cameras. These have a light, disturbing light at night that keep us off at night. The light and extreme sound recording. These are extremely strong cameras. one in front, one in this side, and one in the backyard. I have a pool, and I have an expectation of privacy because I have a pool. So the minute I open the backyard door, I put my foot in the backyard, the light turned on the camera in the back, facing the pool. Continuous harassment. They had the survey guy, as you see, the guy in the, you know.
Ms. Salimi, can I stop you for one second?
Sure.
So just so we're understanding, you know, obviously I understand you're having issues with the neighbor and fully understand from what you're saying, but, you know, for us, a lot of that's a civil matter and stuff that we don't decide on.
Yes.
So, you know, from here, we're strictly from, you know, the development policy, land use, and that. So I think everyone on the commission fully understands a lot of pain's been caused for you and your family.
Exactly.
So I would just, if you do have anything else you want to speak about on the gate, you know, on your proposed fence or anything that, anything further, that would be great. So
this is just quickly, I'm going through the picture. This was basically, that's my view again from my side yard, that, you know, they stand on the side of that porch that they expanded. So again, this is not what I bought the house. I didn't know that this is going to happen. And then that's how they cut the pilaster without my consent. Now is the basically dangerous obstacle in my house that we have to deal with. This is the severe damage that has been done absolutely without my consent. They cut the pilasters, the 6-foot-high pilaster. And soon after, in the same day, they removed the pole. This is exact 1 year to the day. They took the pole out, and you see it just removed. And then the footage is broken to the pieces, back in the truck. And the picture below, actually, interesting. When they were doing, the day that they were cutting, they drew this line as a prop. So obviously my trees was in my left side of their own, you know, line that assumed the property line. Next, we had to hire a private security guard because they threatened us that they're going to take our tree down. And we had a security guard on site to prevent them from taking the trees off and then also have a peaceful environment for my survey technician perform his survey in a peaceful environment. Soon after the security guard left, we had to hire him for a few days. They went over, destroyed my lawn. I am at work, I'm working, I keep getting ring notification on my phone, checked, and I saw that people on my lawn took 14 trees out, broke my sprinkler system. If you see the pipe in there between the trees, broke my sprinkler system, and which now leads to my grass is completely dead in the picture, as you mentioned, and there's damage, significant damage to my landscape, the sprinkler system, and all the trees, and this is what the picture I came home to. They broke the fence, they threw it on my rose bushes. Like, this is cruel. And we have a, you know, obviously this is very obvious that we have a safety concern. And we had no choice to put the fence, even the most expensive time, I had to basically have hired the professional to put that fence up just because to have the peace, just so we just wanted to have peace. Just, you know, stop all the harassment, and we just basically, that is what all it's all about.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions for the applicant? Nope. Okay. Thank you. With that, would anyone from the audience like to speak on this matter? So there's a 5-minute time window on the matter, and please, when you come up to speak, please state your name for the record. Sir, please.
Good evening, Council. I'm Brian Tucker. We're the adjacent neighbor that she's referenced. I'll make this real quick. A lot of those pictures were construction. We're improving the house, and we've talked to many realtors who say that the fence they put up has already dropped our property value if we were to try to sell. I believe in your measurement you had it at 8 feet. Right now it's 9 feet, 7 inches. I think she's trying to get 9 feet approved, so it's already over that. And also, it's on the property line. I didn't know if we were going to get a say or if this is our say. We don't approve of it because it's on the property line. I thought it had to be 2 inches off if it wasn't going, if both parties weren't going in on it. Yeah, that's all I have right now.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else wish to speak? Please state your name and the microphone for the record.
Good evening, Council. My name is John Nalland. I live on that street. I've lived there for 25 years. And for me, yeah, aesthetics is the biggest deal. I'd like it to not be approved. The wall that's up there now is horrible. It looks horrible. I drive on the street every day, see it. I'd like it to be at whatever the limit is, what the city does, because keeps Yorba Linda looking beautiful. I've lived here 25 years, and I love the fact that we don't have any HOAs in my neighborhood, but yet it's still beautiful because they have rules like the fence heights. I can't park my trailer on the grass like I've been told not to when I had a trailer years ago. It's little stuff like that. It's just a few rules that Yorba Linda has, and that's what keeps it beautiful. The height of the fence, like in the backyard where you can see over. My next door neighbor has that. It's just life. You know, we make sure we close our blinds. Their house sits about 2 feet higher, so the tall neighbor can see in. Whoop-de-doo, you know. That's, to me, that's part of life. And one of the things of living in Yorba Linda, I could plant some bamboo or something. I could do stuff that's within the city's rules to block that view if I wanted to and still keep my side yard nice and theirs. The folks that are fixing up the house, not Attila, the other folks, they really fixed up that house. It was a dump. It was the worst house on the block, and they have really been trying, and they have kept it safe. When they were digging holes in the front yard in the evening, when I would walk or ride my bike past there, they were always covered. They throw wood or whatever over them. I did a real good job, I felt, keeping it safe. That was it, the stuff I wanted to say. Drainage came up. I don't know if that has anything to do with fences, but it doesn't sound like it does. But I know my neighbor's drains into mine, and mine drains into the neighbor's, so I take care of my drainage on my property, and I thought that's how it worked in the city. Cameras, you know, I've seen cameras. I don't think that's an issue. That was it for me. Let's see. Yeah, that was
okay.
All my comments.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anybody else wish to come up and speak? Just a reminder to please state your name into the microphone. Thank you.
Hi, Council. My name is Kaylee Simister. I live on the adjacent street, Avenida Cuesta del Sol. I have a 15-month-old daughter, and I'm currently 38 weeks pregnant again. My biggest concern with this wall that goes in between the two houses is actually a safety issue. I'm over at Kristen and Brian's house quite often. And we've had a few times where I'm not able to see oncoming dogs, oncoming traffic. The kids are trying to play in the front yard. We're always right there and watching them, obviously, but with a normal standard 3-foot wall, you're able to see everything coming your direction with this wall. I'm scared to let my daughter play out there. We walk out there all the time with my dog, and I can't see oncoming traffic or anything. And then, of course, as others have mentioned, the aesthetic issue. It's just brought down the look of our whole neighborhood. So those are my two concerns, is just safety and aesthetics.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to speak?
Good evening, Honorable Commission. My name is Matt Vella, and I am a humble and lifelong resident at 4634 Via La Primavera in Yorba Linda. For the majority of my life, my neighborhood has existed in complete harmony. Even as the families around me came and went over the years, the bonds between the neighbors have always remained eternal. They've been welcoming, respectful, supportive, and for some of them even lifelong friends. But all of this was uprooted when the applicant erected her fence as a form of spite against her neighbors and fellow community members due to an ongoing property dispute that she has had. The impact that the applicant's fence has had on her community is more than just aesthetic. It's economic, it's symbolic, it's metaphoric, and it's vile. Since this fence went up over this year, not a day has gone by when our cul-de-sac hasn't been a complete joke to visitors visiting from out of the area. I hear from newcomers, strangers, and passerbys completely unfamiliar with our community, walking around and driving past the applicant's property, wondering a simple question: why? What happened? What could have justified this? I've had friends visiting me wanting to know, Matt, what's with your crazy neighbor? Is this the Berlin Wall or something? Does she know we're not in East Germany? Honorable Commission, Yorba Linda is not a closed community. We're an open one. When residents disagree, we don't cower behind our walls like children. We don't go around spreading lies about what has happened. We engage one another. We talk to each other. We seek resolutions like level-headed and mature adults. This fence is a plague on all of us because it signals a neighborhood where hostility and passive aggression are the norm. Prospective buyers are driven away out of sheer reluctance to be anywhere near a crazy woman with a fence. And can you blame them? Even the current residents themselves wish they could rather be a world away. Honorable Commission, so long as the applicant's yard remains closed, as long as this fence is permitted to stand, it's not just a question of community aesthetics that remains open, but the question of the fundamental peace within our entire Yorba Linda community. You've heard from the residents themselves detailing the facts and origins of this fence, as well as the implications of the ensuing lawsuit that has occurred. You've heard the applicant's lies about our community and heard them litigate their false claims at length about how allegedly inhospitable it is, but nothing could be further from the truth. The neighborhood that I know on Via La Primavera is full of love and hospitality and warmth. So I ask this: if our community really is as unwelcoming and egregious as the applicant has claimed it is, then why is she the only one here with these alleged experiences? Why does she stand alone in this neighborhood? California is already a state that is difficult enough as it is for homeowners. It's near impossible to find any place to buy, let alone price your home appropriately to sell. If I had to try to sell my home surrounded by this neighbor, with this vitriol, and with this wall, who would buy? I humbly ask that you don't make this environment any more difficult by permitting the existence of this monstrosity. Honorable Commission, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity, and if you seek progress for Yorba Linda, then remove this fence, destroy this barrier, and tear down this wall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Samantha Westergren, and I'm a resident of Yorba Linda. My sister actually lives in the neighborhood. My husband has lived in Yorba Linda his whole life, and his family has lived in Yorba Linda for 40-plus years. We moved out of Yorba Linda shortly after we got married and realized right away that we needed to be back in Yorba Linda. So we actually moved in with his parents and are looking for a home. We were so thrilled when we found multiple homes in the neighborhood that were for sale, two of them actually on the street that is being talked about. We were very excited to go look at them and tour them and then saw this wall being built and said absolutely no way would we ever live on a street like this, nor neighborhood, because if one neighbor can do this, what's not to say that the other neighbors in the surrounding neighborhood would not do it as well. More than just an aesthetic issue, we were also concerned with safety. I quite often watch my niece, and as my sister brought up, like to take her for walks, like to take her to the parks in the neighborhood, and don't feel safe doing that by myself because of this wall, because you cannot see down the street at all, and I don't feel comfortable walking somewhere where I can't do that, which is really unfortunate because when my sister first moved in, we were able to do that because there are so many beautiful areas to walk and go see. So it's not just a safety concern, it's also an aesthetic issue, and I really hope that it gets taken down for the benefit of everyone and the neighborhoods, because I don't know how homes are being sold in that neighborhood with this giant 10-foot wall. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Good evening. My name is James McKelvey. I've been a citizen of Yorba Linda for over 30 years. While they were giving their speech there, what they forgot to tell you was the columns that they were speaking about that were damaged or halfway removed were done at the direction of the city from code enforcement. Their columns were built as much as 15 inches onto Kristen and Brian's property, okay? Jim Sowers and code enforcement sent a letter to both homeowners and said to either get the column off of your part of the property or get a permit for the columns, which couldn't be permitted, okay? They're over height, they're not reinforced properly, and they are in their, they were in Kristen and Brian's setback, which means their 5-foot setback was down to 3 feet 9 inches, okay? So they weren't gonna be allowed. So at their direction, those columns were, half of them on our property were removed, okay, on their property, excuse me, it's my daughter. What they've also conveniently forgot to tell you was we paid for a survey first. The first survey showed the property line and showed that the column in the front, the columns down the side, and all the trees they planted were on Kristen and Brian's property. They gave them the opportunity to move them, and they didn't move them. So we removed them and laid them on their property. The fence that she has up now is on the correct property line. And if you'll notice, if you look at the pictures, right where the trees were at before. The trees were further on their property. All right. Now, moving forward, they've made these two sound like criminals. They're both valued citizens. They're both first responders. They're great people. And I'm not just saying that because it's my daughter. They truly are. They're passive people that have just sat back and dealt with the neighbors throughout this whole process. And what they've spelled out in front of you guys tonight is nonsense. And I just hope that you guys do the right thing. I'm sure you will. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Please come up.
Good afternoon. My name is Kristen Tucker, and I am the adjacent neighbor. We are here to express our concerns about the variance. In April of this year, the applicant had a vinyl fence installed. It was measured as of today's date, and it does measure at 9 feet 7 inches tall. On the date of install, Mary Lewis, who is the senior community preservation officer, did respond to the applicant's residence and let her know the required height. Despite being told this, she still had the fence installed above the height requirement anyway. There are several reasons why we can test this variance permit. Obviously, as noted by my husband, the property value, we have worked very hard in the last 2 years to increase our property value. When the fence was being installed, it was installed on the property line, the mutual property line, which we were not properly notified of ahead of time. I believe per California code, we're supposed to know ahead of time. The applicant was informed that this was being made on the property line. After being notified of that, she did talk to the installer. He did request or suggest to move the fence 4 inches onto her property. That way the footings would not encroach onto our property. She refused to take his suggestion. Therefore, she decided to take a footing, take the concrete off of one side. Therefore, only 3 sides of the posts. Excuse me?
Audience, please. Please.
I will.
Please go ahead.
Return. 3 sides of the posts are in the footings. One side of it is not. They did cut the concrete on one side of the pole, making this unsafe. My biggest concern is I do have a 2-year-old daughter. We play in the front yard daily. I back out of my garage daily. I cannot see oncoming traffic when I am playing in my front yard. As you can see, you have the picture of the fence behind you. You cannot see anything. You can also see in that picture my roof. When you drive up the street, you can't see my house. When I'm on my front porch, I can't see anybody driving up. My daughter and I like to stand in the front porch and watch my husband come home from work. We can't do that anymore. We have one window in the front of our house that looks out to the front. All we see is this. It's suffocating and it's depressing. And we request that this be removed swiftly and promptly. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Nope. Okay, thank you. Recording secretary, I believe we received some photos here to put in. Was anything else received?
Nothing else. Just the photos, the PowerPoint presentation from the applicant.
Thank you. With that, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Do anybody have any comments?
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead.
So I want to first say I'm not unsympathetic to neighbor disputes. As someone who spent 6 months in her first house on concrete floors because of a neighbor dispute in a condo over flooring, I'm very sympathetic to what it can cause. However, everything that's been presented before us today, you know, leads me down the path of this is absolutely a civil matter. And this community in particular, I live kind of just adjacent to this neighborhood, and my husband, who's a lifelong Yorba Linda resident, we have commented on how this community has really kind of risen up in stature over the last couple of years. and the properties within this community are being, you know, improved, and it's a nice up-and-coming neighborhood in Yorba Linda, especially for being one of the older neighborhoods in Yorba Linda. And you know, the answer to a civil dispute is not building a 9-foot vinyl fence down the middle of a neighborhood. I respect both sides, and I have every faith that the court system will make proper determinations on this, but I do not believe that this commission should sacrifice one of our neighborhoods for the sake of a property dispute. And that is my opinion.
Thank you. Commissioner Pease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree that this is a civil issue. It's also a very unfortunate issue. You know, we all live in Yorba Linda, and we all live with our neighbors. And when we've reached a point where we've got a neighbor versus neighbor situation, it's uncomfortable, it's unfortunate, and it just makes life a living Hades. I was very concerned about the rhetoric of one of the speakers, the pejorative reference to the applicant, as well as the categorical characterization of all of her statements. That did trouble me, and that speaks, I think, to the vitriol that exists right now. I agree with Commissioner Darnell. This is not the venue for a civil dispute. We are a planning commission, and our purview is with respect to the appropriateness of the variance for the fence. Full disclosure, I did drive the street. I did see the fence firsthand, and in all candor, it is out of character with the aesthetic of the neighborhood. I wish that we had it within our power to resolve the dispute. It's unfortunate we don't. I am sympathetic to everyone on this street that's going through this issue, but I just don't think that you know, it's really within our wheelhouse to do something about. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Bernstein?
Yeah, I just want to agree with Commissioner Darnell and Commissioner Pease. I also visited the neighborhood. It is a really nice neighborhood. A situation like this is grievous. None of us moved to Yorba Linda to live in this kind of situation. We all understand that. But there really is no place for name calling. That takes the level right down to where nobody will win. So I agree with your comments on that, Commissioner Pease. There's clearly a problem. This, in my opinion, is not the solution to the problem. I did notice that I think it's Flores, which is the parallel street, has another beautifully remodeled house up the street where the porch is quite a bit higher than the house below it. and they seem to have solved it with a number of Italian cypresses, which seem to be a better solution. So I will not be supporting this CUP.
Any other commissioners comment?
I just have a comment. I mean, this is an unfortunate situation, and I think it's way beyond the issue of a wall. So, like I saw commissioners mentioned, it's probably a civil case matter, but it's probably outside our purview, but problem cannot be solved by building a wall. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. With that, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I will move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying variance 2021-01.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Steve?
I vote yes.
Starnell?
I vote yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And I would make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution denying conditional use permit 2021-19 Salami.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording Secretary?
Pease?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days.
Thank you. On the next item, I actually have a conflict since I live on Stonehaven Drive, so I will be stepping out, and Commissioner Darnell will be stepping in. Thank you.
Do I need to move? Can I do it from here?
I think you can do it.
All right. Moving on to item number 5, we have lot line adjustment 2021-02. Mr. Malden, I'm going to butcher that. And Mr. Brantley, who is giving the staff report? Because Ms. Serta is, I don't believe, any no longer with
us. I will be giving the staff report on this item, Madam Chair Pro Tem.
Thank you.
The applicant, sexually representing three property owners, parcel 1, 2, and 3 of the lot line adjustment, which you see on the screen, off of Stonehaven and Heatherwood and Deberon Cove. This is an application intended to essentially align property lines to coincide with the historic fuel modification slash maintenance areas, which the upper property off of Heatherwood, the McIndoo property, they maintain portions of property on the lower two properties off of Stonehaven. And the parties are agreeing that if they're going to maintain these areas, they should have those be incorporated into their ownership. Next slide, please. So this slide shows the existing property in blue and then the area that is proposed to be adjusted pursuant to the lot line adjustment. This would incorporate the yellow area into the McIndoo property, which is an area that they maintain presently. Next slide. And this is just what was attached to your staff report showing Exhibit B, the actual lot line adjustment map, showing the new property line as per the previous slide that showed the yellow area to be incorporated. And then Exhibit C is the site plan. Staff has evaluated the proposed new lot lines for consistency with the development standards for the zone, including the respective lot areas upon adjustment. And we find that all of the parcels remain in compliance with the development standards post lot line adjustment. And therefore, we have recommended approval of this requested lot line adjustment. And we've attached a resolution of approval for your consideration this evening. And I'm available for any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, is the applicant here, or applicant? You're welcome to come forward and state your name and give us any comments if you have any. Okay, please. Yeah, you guys are way easy. Okay, awesome. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving lot line adjustment 2021-02. Help me out. McIndoo. Thank you.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Please vote.
Pease.
Yes.
Darnell.
Yes.
Singh.
Yes.
Bernstein.
Yes.
Masterson abstaining. Motion carries 4-0.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. But you know what? I will say one thing. Thank you guys for saying something because it was very uncalled for.
Okay, moving on to item number 6, government code section number 65402, finding regarding request for determination for conveyance of an easement for SoCal Edison, or SoCal Gas. Gas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Raymer has the night off this evening, so I'll go ahead and present this item. You're familiar with these, government code section 65402, requires before the city acquires or conveys property or other property right, I should say, we have to bring a 65402 finding to the planning agency, which is the Planning Commission, for a determination of consistency with that conveyance or disposal of property in terms of the city's general plan. In this case, the Southern California Gas Company does maintain certain facilities in this area. They have a 10-foot easement in this location, and they are proposing a new, remote warning system for facility disruption during earthquake or other disaster. And it automatically allows them to automatically isolate segments of the gas line and shut it off in the event of emergency. They're requesting an extension of their easement to install these new facilities. They do include the construction of a couple of new pedestals. So the next slides show the proposed new facilities. Ashanti, if you could go to the next slide. You have the existing view of the location at Valley View Circle and Lavender Drive in the lower left. You'll see some existing controllers there. And then in the upper right photo, you'll see the after condition upon installation of the new facilities that would be installed once the easement is granted following the commission's 65402 determination, of course. You can see that the area is proposed to be re-landscaped, and there are the two new dark green facilities that would locate there. Staff is going to be working with SoCal Edison to tailor the landscape in a way that...
The gas company.
To minimize any aesthetic impacts related to the additional equipment, but staff does support public safety and made a determination that the general plan does also support, in many areas, this proposed safety upgrade, and therefore we did recommend approval of the 65402 finding. We provided a resolution to that effect, and that's all I have.
I have one quick question. Are they landscaping up on that hill portion that shows it too? All the way up there?
The other side of the fence?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, well.
Yeah, looks good.
Okay, anybody have any other questions for staff? No? Okay. I don't know if it's a public hearing item, but I will open up for the public hearing. Anyone wishes to speak? No one's here. Recording secretary, do we receive anything on this matter?
No, we didn't. No?
Okay. With that, I'll close it. And do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution finding that the proposed grant of easement conforms to the Yorba Linda General Plan as required by State Government Code Section Number 65402.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Can we please take a vote?
Pease.
Yes.
Darnell.
Yes, but I just want to state for the record that my best friend is the SoCal Gas rep for this area. She didn't talk to me about it, so I just feel like I should get that on the record. But yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
I've been very confident about the application because she didn't call me.
moving on, old business. Do we, Mr. Brantley, do we have any old business?
No old business.
Nope. Okay. The director's report.
No, thank you. Just a couple of reminders. The State of the City is scheduled for October 20th at 5:30 at the Nixon Library. I'm sure you've received your invitations. Also, the Citizen of the Year Committee dinner is coming up on the 20th of September from 6 to 8 p.m. at Black Gold Clubhouse, and I believe representative is Commissioner Bernstein.
That is correct.
So looking forward to that, I expect. Should be a good time. Also wanted to invite you to go take a look at East Lake Village Shopping Center. You guys approved design review to do some upgrades about a year ago. They have been underway and are nearly complete, about 90-95%. It looks fabulous, and what an upgrade. So kudos to you for approving that, and it really is an upgrade for the center and the community as a whole. One other note, the housing element draft has been submitted to HCD. It's up there. They have 60 days to review it and get feedback to the city. It was sent up a couple of weeks ago. We haven't heard back anything yet, although we've been assigned our reviewer. And his name is Colin Cross. So we've reached out to Colin and anticipate working in partnership with HCD to get our housing element approved. So we'll keep the commission informed as we continue to move through the process, and that's all I have.
I have a question on Village Center. Are they going to pave it?
On Village Center Drive?
No, the center, the shopping center. Sorry, for those of us that don't live in Eastlake but shop there, we call it Village Center.
I would assume they're going to. Yeah, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah, they've invested multiple millions of dollars in this upgrade.
Okay.
And it's usually the last thing that
that's
will do.
That's what I figured. It's
so
just really bad.
That's probably the additional 5% of the work that needs to occur.
Okay.
Plus a temporary Starbucks line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the mayor's prayer breakfast is tomorrow. I'm sorry, I don't recall. Is that at the community center? It is usually, but it may have been.
It is.
Is it at the community center?
We did the mayor's prayer breakfast on Yom Kippur.
Perfect.
Yeah. I don't know.
Those get big turnouts?
Yes, it's a full house.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, if you've never gone, it's it is a really nice event.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Good to know. Okay.
All right.
I just bought my ticket this afternoon, so.
Hmm. And it's tomorrow, Commissioner Singh, at
7:30 or?
7. I think it's earlier.
Earlier than
I think I arrived at 6:45 last year.
Oh.
I think it may start at 7-ish. So.
Okay, sounds like tickets are still available.
Okay.
correspondence received?
Just what we've noted for the record.
Yes.
Already?
Okay. Then with that, I will adjourn to the next Planning Commission meeting, which is September 29th, 2021 at 6:30.
Right.
Thank you.